resurrection and the life. Pay attention. We're not talking about waiting until ... I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replies. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Notice her reply to Jesus' question. It's very similar to what Peter does when he says, who do you say I am? This goes directly to the fact of who do you believe Jesus is? I would be amiss if I didn't ask this same question of all of you who are here today. I know most of you pretty well. I know most of you have accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord. But you know something? I also know that many of you have people in your lives, or interact with people in your lives, or will interact with people who don't. And what you need to do is remember to ask, do you believe this? You see, it's really, really important. And Tony would say to me, now, Steve, be careful. Don't go all evangelist on them. But sometimes that's what's necessary. We as Anglicans are very clear about who Jesus is. We need to be very clear with others. We are often caught up in asking God, just like Martha. She's emotionally and spiritually and physically exhausted. She is all in, though, giving all she has in her answer and no longer asking Jesus anything about Lazarus. Now it's about her relationship with Jesus, because that's what's important. Is your relationship with Jesus. Do you know why God made us silly creatures? We really are. That's how I know God has a sense of humor. Just look around the room. Right? Why did he make us? For relationship. He wanted to have relationships with us. He wants us to be a part of him. He wants us to be with him for all eternity and have a wonderful time. And eternity will be a wonderful time. By the way, I've already signed up for some of the seminars that will be taught by Paul and some of the others. There's going to be lots to do, and we have all eternity to do it. Stop and remember, what is it that God wants us to know? And in our time of contemplation and reflection, remind him how much we appreciate all that he does and will do for us. Jesus is very clear about who he is. He is God. He is life itself. Life wouldn't even exist if God had not desired to be in relationship beyond the Trinity. And he is also life, that it is through him that eternity is provided as a gift to us. Somebody once said, how do you think God made this decision? And I do think it was a decision, because theologians, we talk about what goes on in the Trinity. It's called the counsel of God. God counsels within himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I imagine when they talked about making humankind, How do I know that? Because it says so in the book. When in doubt, by the way, go to the book. It says in Genesis, let us, that's in the plural, by the way, in the Hebrew, let us make humankind. Let us make them male and female. By the way, that's equal partnership. We're going to make them. They're all going to be in our image. How did he decide that? How did us decide it? They talked about it. I don't know how long they talked about it. I don't know how they talked about it. That's stuff that's way beyond me and in the realm of metaphysics, which is way beyond me. But I know they agreed. They came to agreement to make us. Third, not only did Martha go out to meet Jesus, and not only does he tell her straight out who he is, Jesus wept. Shortest verse in scripture. If you get on a quiz show and they ask you what is the shortest verse in scripture, you say, Jesus wept. Ding, 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 ding. And they're going to give you lots of money, and I want you to give me 10%. Well, okay, give the church 10%. That's probably better. Don't ever think that God doesn't care. Don't ever think that God doesn't care. There is nothing that we go through that God doesn't care about us and what we're going through. So much so that in this case, Jesus wept. Jesus was not concerned about others seeing his emotions. What is it about our culture especially? Yeah, you probably are seeing, if you're watching the news, and I don't advise that, by the way. There's many more things you can do with your time. But one of the things you'll notice is that people in especially the Middle East, they really let their emotions out. If you ever watched them at a funeral, that's a part of letting things out. We go all staid. He was a man of faith. I'm a person of faith. I don't need to cry. I know where he is. He's in a better place. She's in a better place. We're all just so stiff. And it really bugs me, to be honest with you. Now, part of that's because I'm Italian. You know, we just wear our emotions on our sleeves everywhere. But we are. Jesus wept. Do you get it? The second person of the Trinity, God wept. He weeps with you when you are weeping. When you are genuinely moved and emotionally distraught, God cares and he weeps with you. In verses 35 through 39, it says Jesus wept. And then it says, the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? It says, Jesus once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. And Jesus said, take away the stone. His command was direct. It was confident. He knew exactly what he was going to do for the glory of God. By the way, I believe there were two reasons that Jesus wept. First of all, it hurt him to think that Mary and Martha thought he had let them down. Sometimes that's the most deeply moving thing in our lives, when we think that somebody believes we've let them down, and we have not. But we are human and we are self-centered, maybe less self-centered than we were yesterday, and hopefully tomorrow will be less self-centered than we are today. As we mature in Christ, we grow. But there is still that old self that nags. Second reason I think that Jesus wept is I believe he knew that by raising Lazarus from the dead, Lazarus would have to die again. He has to die twice. But when Lazarus dies the second time, he will be translated, or he was translated, directly into the presence of Jesus. No one had to remove grave clothes. No one had to go to Sheol. He did not have to go to the place of the dead. He was particularly present with the Lord the second time. Last note before we close. Some of you are going, whew, good. Do you remember when Moses was God's instrument for dividing the Red Sea? Moses said to the people in Exodus 14, "Don't be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again." And boy, was he right. There's a great cantata that George Frederick Handel wrote called Israel and Egypt. And that particular piece where they talk about the Egyptians being thrown into the sea, covered with water, you could just kind of see them going, oops, this was a mistake. It says, though, there, and you need to remember this, the Lord will fight for you. And you only have to keep still. Don't run. Just stay where you are. Ruby, when my dog, Ruby, comes to church with me or goes out with me wherever, or if we're going for a walk where she walks me, I have to get her to be still first in order to put the harness on her, because the harness makes sure that she doesn't escape. You see, Ruby is an escape artist. That's why she has this little thing on her collar that's a GPS locator. I mean, she can, like that, and she's just off and gone. She's a hound, she can't help it. But I have to tell her, be still so I can get the things on you that you need to be safe. Be still and know I am God. Jesus says, take away the stone. The Greek for take away is arate. And that means it's in the second person plural, for those of you who are English majors and really get buzzed by that. It means, y'all take that stone away. Jesus truly was a Southerner, by the way. Y'all take that stone away. Because one person couldn't do it. It took a group of people. And that group of people just for some reason all went together up and said, let's move this stone. And they moved it. It's a command. It means now, without hesitation, as God, Jesus knew the Father would fully support what he was about to do. And so they took away the stone. And Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe you sent me. Boom. Do you know something? There's something else in that verse right there. Why did he give us his word? I do this for the benefit of the people who are coming after, that they may believe in me and that you sent me. That's why he gives it to us. That's why you need to spend time in it. Not just as a, I think I'll look something up in the Bible. No. One of the things that I love it when the clergy at our synod, when we were all there together, Seth was there, and all of the priests in the diocese, and it's really kind of neat as we walk down, all robed, not in albs, but in the really nice stuff, you know, the cassock and surplus and our academic hoods and all the other stuff that we have that we think makes us look important, but we know that in fact, it's one of those things that just moves you. And one of the things we do is we renew our vows. And one of the things that is said is that we will read, absorb, digest God's word in order to help our people. When Jesus arose from the grave, no one could move that stone. It was basically impossible. It was the power of his resurrection. But the last thing about this miracle is having them move the stone, and then he says, Lazarus, come out. No hesitation. Going, man, I sure hope this works. I got a lot going on this. It says, Lazarus, come out. Lazapare. Duro. A exo. Come out. And the Greek is personal. It's a command from one person to another. It's between Jesus and Lazarus, and everybody was there just to observe. The point of this, hopefully, is very clear. Jesus is God. As Anglicans, as Christians, we want to remember it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. All of the other stuff is just stuff. What are we going to do about those who are around us? What are we going to do about our wayward children and wayward grandchildren? What are they going to do about it if the Lord hasn't come? We can dance around this and say, well, you know, I don't want to push them away. I want to be careful. Why? Do you realize that if Jesus comes this evening, I don't know whether he will or not, if Jesus comes this evening and you haven't told them, it's going to be too late. Oh, you're going to enjoy eternity and you probably won't even think about them. They won't be there. We say, I don't want to press the issue because I love them and I don't want them to, some of them may not be with us very long and I want to make them happy. No, I want to echo to you as I close the words of Joshua. Joshua says before the entire group of Israelites gathered, now therefore, revere Yahweh, the Lord, all capital L-O-R-D. That means Yahweh. That means the three in one, the Godhead, the most powerful force in the universe. Now, therefore, revere Yahweh and serve him in sincerity and in fullness. Choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve Yahweh. We will not serve the gods of humankind. We will testify that Jesus is Lord in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You pray about that.